All right, well, we're going to get into the Word here. And I'm going to pick up where I've been the last couple weeks. Continue to share. So we're going to go to John chapter 10. Verse 27. John 10, 27. And this message title is... Okay. John 10, 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." Now, for recent weeks, I've been sharing with you from Psalm 23, some revelation that I had that I didn't have before. And we're proceeding on, and we were looking at this verse last week. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." And this is sort of part two to last week's message on respect and trust. And he speaks of my sheep hearing and following, two things he says about us, and two things he says about himself. He knows us, and he gives us eternal life. He's giving something to us. And he refers to himself as the good shepherd, verse 11, that gives us life for the sheep. Now, hearing your voice is a result of respect. You only listen to someone to the degree you respect them. If you don't respect someone, you won't listen to them. This is where in leadership, two things that are paramount with every relationship and are paramount to leadership is respect and trust. If you don't have both of those, you don't have the necessary thing for it to work. If someone's going to be married, they have to have a respect to hear that person's heart. All ministry proceeds first out of hearing, not just you talking, not you just saying what you know, but to hear the heart of the person, to hear the need, to hear the thought, to hear, more importantly, the Spirit of God. So in any ministry thing, it always begins with hearing. And he said, "My sheep," which we belong to him, your life's not your own. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. "My sheep hear my voice." We desperately need to hear the voice of God. We need him leading and guiding us and revealing things to us. And this is why it says in Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And it's not talking about fear. The word that's translated fear can have some varied meanings. It can mean be afraid of, oh, you're going to hurt me. But it can also mean, and in this instance, it's speaking of having respect. The word in the English is fear. It's used many times, but it means to have respect. And without respect, you don't really hear what someone's saying. If you lose respect, you lose the basis of leadership. This is vitally important for parents to understand. If your example is inconsistent and it's a contradiction, and you say you believe one thing and you do another, you will lose their respect, and thus they'll no longer really listen to you. Oh, they might hear what you say, but that's not the hearing Jesus is talking about. The Pharisees heard the same messages that his disciples did, but they didn't hear it. There were times Jesus said, "Let him that has ears to hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches." He said to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Can you hear? Can you hear? So there are people who will go to church and they sit there, but they don't really hear. The evidence of that, their life's not changed. God's word has the power to transform us to the image of Christ, to change us, to set us free. He said, if you continue my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. But if someone's never going free, the problem is they're not really hearing. And if we're not really hearing, you can trace that back. Because see, a lot of times you have to trace back to the root of a problem. It's the fact there's not a proper respect for God, so they don't really hear what he's saying. They're not really paying attention. Now, what creates respect and trust is your character. Character will earn respect and trust. No one deserves respect and trust. You earn it. And you earn it as a result of someone being able to see your character and that your character is good. And your actions display what's in you. Your words do as well. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your actions will show what's inside of you. You can't separate your heart from your actions. Many times people will do something wrong and say, well, yeah, I didn't mean to do that. Well, whether you meant to or not, you did it. That proceeded out of something within you. Now, the actions of Jesus were that he gave his life for the sheep. He said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. The word good there is speaking of his moral characteristics, his character, his DNA, so to speak, in the spirit. Because he is a good shepherd, it's very easy to submit to him. It's very easy to respect him. If someone won't respect Jesus, they're not going to respect anyone for character. Now, there are many in the world who only respect power. This is something that's not understood many times by people in positions of authority. Like, say, your Islamic peoples, they respect the use of power. So if you have power and don't use it, they'll perceive you as weak and they'll push and test because they don't have the Spirit of God in their heart. So they're going to push and test. You know, your communist type believing people, they respect power. Again, if you have power and don't use it, the perception is that you are weak. Because their assumption is if you have power, you'll use that for yourself because, again, they're not born of God. They are selfish and self-serving. So they use their power, or, you know, like money's power, knowledge can be power. When I say power, I don't mean, you know, muscle pumping strength. But however, whatever form, you would have that power. But as a Christian, if someone has power and is restrained in using it, we respect that. So we're like, well, we could wipe you out, but we're not going to do that because we're going to be merciful. See, that's a restraint. Character is dominant more than power in that case. So we respect, or Christians in general, I'm not saying everyone, but will respect the restraint of the use of power because that's showing a characteristic or character of mercy and being gracious. So as you observe someone and you see their characteristics and qualities as being very good, that earns your respect. When your actions undermine that, then you lose respect. And thus you'll lose someone listening to you. You'll lose their submission. You'll lose their obedience. If obedience is in the equation, if you're a parent, obedience is in the equation. If you're a governmental authority, obedience is in the equation, or it should be. In Ephesians 5:21, it's speaking of being filled with the Spirit, and it goes on to say that, verse 21, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God, or out of respect for the grace of God in someone, you submit, which is to allow someone's influence. I'll allow your influence because I respect the grace in you. Now, if you demand perfection, you'll never submit to anyone. If you're not submitting to anyone, check that out for yourself. People that do that will always come back with, yeah, but you, yeah, but you. They'll always do that. And it's a way of justifying the fact that they don't submit themselves to anybody, which is very, very foolish, because God gives grace and revelation and wisdom in a measure to everyone. So there are things in our brothers and sisters that would benefit us if we can have ears to hear. So if we recognize the grace of God and godly character, we should be open to hear what they are saying. Now, that doesn't mean you just do what they say, but open to hear, to be influenced. He goes on to speak there in Ephesians chapter 5 that people many times, and I've done this many times, they'll refer to those verses in speaking of marriage. But really at verse 33, he says, I'm speaking in relation to the church. And the marriage is a picture of the church. And he says how Christ, we are to love our wives, husband, like Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it. Wives, reverence or respect your husband. Now that doesn't mean he's always right. Can I hear an amen from the women's cheering section? He's not always right. You're wrong if you demand that of him. Because he's not always going to be right. That's a tough pressure to put on someone. You cannot make a mistake. Or I don't have to listen to you. Now, the husband needs to be focused on following the example of Jesus, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep and to lay down his life for his family. And ladies, I'm going to give you a little tip here. Men want respect. And sometimes what you have to do is look for what you can respect. Because sometimes with some people, and I'm not saying you, hopefully you can respect your husbands here, but sometimes there's not a whole lot to work with. So you find what you can show respect to them to. Well, he provides. Maybe he doesn't treat me real well, but he provides. Or he's very kind to me, but he doesn't provide. But men want respect from her wife. I remember reading a book by Paul Yonggi Cho, pastor in the 80s of the largest church in the world. And, you know, people would say, oh, good message, Dr. Cho, good message. But I remember him saying when he got home, he wanted to hear what his wife had to say. Because he cherished her respect more than anybody else. Because that's part of the relationship. Now, guys, let me give you a little tip here. Women want to be cherished. They want to know they're special. Boy, you ladies are sleeping on me here. But women want to know you're special. And guys sometimes look at the big picture and certain things. Well, yeah, we paid the bills. You ain't got a house to live in. There's food on the table. What else could you want? She wants to feel special. And you know the adage, it's the little things. A little thing, you could do the big thing. Here's a house, but it's that little thing of being kind or encouraging or whatever you administer to her that she feels cherished. And if you give your life for someone, how else can you cherish someone more? You're giving your life for them. Well, Jesus sees you as special. He gave his life. And it all proceeded out of his character. He is the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. We desperately need to hear the voice of God. He said, I know them. He knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you do. He knows what you need when you don't know what you need. He knows where you're at right now. He knows the plan of God for your life, for your future. And because he's good, you mix that with him being good, he's the easiest person there is to submit to. I mean, why would you have a problem submitting to him? Well, he might tell me to do something I don't want to do. Yeah, but what he's telling you to do is the best thing for you. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. Maybe the Lord would say, eat your broccoli and forget the ice cream. I don't know. He knows what you need. I'm not against ice cream. And you can go out and have all you want. But I'm just trying to illustrate for you that he knows what you need right now. And he knows everything on your past, because everything that you're walking in now is a result of something in the past. Many people have present moment fears, and it's a result of something in the past. Most people don't understand why they are the way they are. They don't know. He does. And someone with wisdom and discernment might see, you know, your parents did this and it caused that. They might see that and it be a correct observation. But how are you going to get free? It's the word of the Lord. It's that word in due season from the Lord your shepherd. So we desperately need the shepherd to lead us out of bondage, out of the bondage of anything past, to lead us in the present moment to walk in the Spirit, and to lead us on into our destiny and into the plan and purpose of God for our life. Therefore, we need to follow him, because he's the only one that knows all of that. When just to simply understand that should generate this strong desire to hear and follow him. Because he knows. No one else knows. He understands you. Sometimes people say, well, you don't understand. Nobody understands me. Doesn't matter. Get off of it. Stop it. Your shepherd understands it more about you than you know. He's the only one. He's the only one that can completely help you, deliver you, and lead you. He's the only one. If you look to man, somewhere you'll get sort of off track. You'll never really experience the freedom that you would yearn for. But the Lord being your shepherd, he begins, he'll make you lie down in the green pastures of the word. He'll make you. To follow the Lord is to go and hear the word of God. He'll lead you by the still waters, which I'd shared with you a few weeks ago from the Gospel of John. He spoke of the Holy Spirit being that living water. He leads us into the Holy Spirit's ministry, without which we don't have any means of partaking of life. And part of the taking us into encountering the presence of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to lead you into worship. The presenting yourself to him, a fresh consecration to the Lord, which we need to do every week and even daily. Lord, I present myself to you. Romans 12, 1 and 2 speaks of that, presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, an offering. We give ourselves to him in worship, and we renew our mind with the word of God, that we might prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So the Lord is our shepherd, will lead us into that. If you're not moving in that direction, you're not following him. I'll be so bold to be blunt with you on that. There are many people say, yeah, I believe, I believe. Yeah, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. You don't know God by your emotions. A lot of people, love is just an emotion to them. And they'll say they love the Lord. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, John 14. You'll obey me if you love me. He said, I always do the things that please my Father. That's loving the Father. Your heart's to want to please that person that you love. Your heart's to do that which would that you flow with them. Jesus knows you. He understands you. We were created in the image of God. God wanted a people that would know and understand him. He made us. We know what it is to not have him, sin. And therefore, we're in a position to understand grace and mercy and love. Because love's only understood by the fact he laid down his life for us. He became sin that we could be made righteous. He became all that we were, that we could become all that he is. Selah. Think about that. I know my sheep. He knows what you need. You need the word. You need his presence. It says, Psalm 23:3, that he'll restore our soul. That's the Hebrew word for turn or cause you to repent. That's through the conviction power of the Holy Ghost. That's loving you. You know, a parent will correct their child and try to instill them, here's how you handle yourself. Here's how you act. Here's what you should do. He'll lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He'll lead you to walk in his ways because he wants you and your life to glorify him. He wants you to know him and glorify him. That's why you're on this earth. And by his spirit abiding in us, we can know him. And because the Holy Ghost in us, we can glorify him by the power of God. You can do the will of God. You can love like Jesus loved. That's some good news. I know them and they follow me. They follow me. Again, trust and respect. You're a fool to follow someone you don't trust or respect. I was laying in bed this morning. A thought came into my mind. I was meditating on this. And in the military, going to military. You hear people say, I'd follow that, you know, like captain general, whoever, you know, right into enemy fire. I'd follow them anywhere. And there's others, you know, you wouldn't want to lead your dog on a leash. And over the years, and I like history and military history, and you hear that said of certain generals. And I was thinking about that, a certain quality. Why would some say, I'll march straight into the enemy fire behind this guy? And I've heard already, like Vietnam, there were certain officers get shot in the back of the head because they wanting to lead their guys right into death for no apparent real purpose. Just they don't know what they're doing. I had a guy tell me, there was officers over him got shot in the head. So what is it about those generals that commands respect and trust that people would follow? Well, first of all, it's courage. That's a character thing. They see courage. And if you're a leader, you're not leading from behind, just giving, barking out orders, but leading into battle, right in the very front. I would sort of enjoy certain movies where you have that kind of leader. I like that. It inspires me. Men of great courage. If someone's a coward, you're not going to follow them running away from the enemy. You respect the person who will stand up and do his job, which is to fight with who the enemy would be. The second thing is you would hope they'd have some wisdom and know what they're doing. If a unit begins to think this nut's going to get us all killed, there's going to be some rebellion. Say, hey, we're not following him. He's going to get us all killed. And they also have a strong sense of mission or purpose that they're willing to die in purpose and willing to die for the unit. They are a unit. That's why Joshua, when you go in, I guess they still do. They're going to shave your head. They're going to put a uniform on you, and you're going to look the same as everybody else. So get used to it. But they want to break you down, that your identity's not in you. Your identity's in the unit. and you live and die together. And the leader needs to be a part of the unit, not just off to themselves, taking some easy road. And that commands respect. The men or women, if it's women in there, need to know that you're in this together. It's not just you doing the dirty work while they're at the officers' club. So that commands respect. And as far as I can recollect, the respected generals and so forth, they all had that element in them that they would charge forward. Most notable is George Washington. Did you ever see the picture of them crossing the Delaware River? He was in the lead boat right out front. Ever see that picture? Painting? That's just an example. You lead by example. You set the example. People follow the example. Sister Janet was speaking of that this morning relative to parenting. You follow the example. When you're walking in godly character, people can respect it and trust, and they'll follow you. Again, Jesus is the good shepherd. And as we follow him, he gives us something, eternal life and everything associated with it. The kingdom of God. We can access the love, the peace, the joy. In your life is like a journey. And on this journey, there's a lot of decisions. I could go this way, I could go that way, I could do this or that, or you just don't know what to do. And we desperately need led by the Spirit or the Lord as our shepherd leading us. Because he knows what you need. He knows where you're at. He knows, because the Father God has a plan for you where you're supposed to be going and moving toward. He has pathways. There's two different Greek words that can talk about the path you're walking or the journey, the long journey, or the steps right in front of you. He leads you in both. Because you need to know that next step before you to take, but we also need a sense of where we're going, who we're to walk with, what we're to be doing. There are many things that might be good, but it's not what you're to be doing. He knows exactly what we need to be doing. We need to hear his voice. He goes on to say that we're in the Father's hand and no man can pluck us out or no devil can pull you out. I mean, unless you submit to them in that. But as we follow him, there is protection in the flock. I remember watching like a nature type thing. I mean, years ago, it was a program called Wild Kingdom. You have to be of a certain age to know what I just said. A little program. And Marlon, what was his name? Perkins. He would go in Africa and places and film all this animal stuff. I still remember the day I was watching that, and he was showing a herd of a deer-type animal in Africa, and it was either a lion or a tiger or something, was looking for dinner. So he begins to chase, a roar, begins to chase the herd. The herd's moving. And the weak, the sick, the older animal would end up not able to keep up and would stray off. And if he would separate that animal from the herd, they would run him down, kill him in seconds, have dinner. But if they stayed in the herd, there was protection in the herd. And what herd-type animals may do in a case like that is sort of get together and start kicking. Turn their rear end to the animal and just start kicking away. And that big cat animal has got hooves flying from every direction. They can't very well get dinner that way. But they try to separate. The devil does the same thing. He'll try to separate you from the body of Christ, and especially from the guidance of the Lord as your shepherd, and you stray off this way when the shepherd's leading the flock that way, you're going to get run down by the enemy, the devil, who's seeking to destroy you, and it won't be long at all. And in that, we understand a truth from what the Creator created and how it works, that we need to stay in the body and we need to stay following the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. They're listening for him. He knows us. He knows everything about you. Stop looking for a person to understand you. Look to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is your shepherd. If there's a person that understands you, treat it as a blessing, not as a hope and expectation. There are times everyone will feel, no one knows what I'm going through. You cannot dwell on that, or you're going to get into self-pity, and that's going to bring depression and all kinds of other stuff. Stop pitying yourself. Run to the shepherd. Listen for his voice. Run to him. Let him lead you. This is so, so important. We all need guidance. His Holy Spirit guides us in the truth. The shepherd will lead us in the plan of God, the purpose of God. He wants to lead you into his word and into his presence. One of the great virtues of gathering is to hear the word and to worship. That is a biblical principle that the body of Christ cannot deviate from, coming up with some other, well, we do church like this. What's the Bible say? Present yourself a living sacrifice. The shepherd makes you lie down in the green pastures. He leads you by the still waters. I love to come worship. I love to worship. My expectation is the presence of God, to hear from God. Worship's not just singing songs. It's to give yourself to him. Fresh consecration. You can come here and sit and sing all the songs and not really enter into the giving of your heart to the Lord. That's what he's after. And he wants to give his word back to you to strengthen you and give you wisdom. So we gather in purpose according to what the scripture lays out to us. Amen. Well, you ready to do some of that? Like worship team to come. And let's enter into to worship and allow the Spirit of God to renew your consecration to him and to speak to you. Some of you may need an answer for something. It may come today, it may not, but to position yourselves what you can and need to do. When I need answers, I don't say, Lord, I need an answer and try to hear. Which you'll get something out of your own head. What I do is enter into worship. My whole focus is on him. So when he speaks, I know it's him, because I wasn't thinking about anything else but him. Are you with me on that? Expect to hear from him. Expect to receive impartations of strengthening of the Holy Ghost. What's important to me is you hear from him, not that you remember what all I say. Sometimes you can sit in a meeting and someone's preaching and the spirit of inspiration's there and revelation's there. And God might speak to you and it's nothing to do with what the speaker said. That's okay. As long as you hear from him, that's what you need. Many times we'll hear through the message, but just being in the position of revelation knowledge flowing with expectation of hearing, many times we hear what we need. It's not even what was being spoken. Many times entering into the worship of God, there's just a peace. And we lay aside the things, the cares of this life, the things that would distract us, and you can hear. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. So in worship, we still our soul and we hear that which he would speak to us. We know him as our God.